The United States Navy consumes about 4 million gallons of oil every day. Little wonder that the naval brass has boldly embraced the move towards supplanting as much of that oil as possible with sustainable alternatives. But the Navy also has a history of anticipating and responding to major changes in propulsion, observes Sebastopol environmental writer Julia Whitty.
In the past, the Navy has pioneered four other energy transformations, from sail to coal-powered steam, oil-powered steam, diesel, and nuclear power. And along the way, with the U.S. Navy making those changes, commercial shipping came with them.
If that pattern holds, Whitty writes in the current issue of Mother Jones magazine, it would have an enormous ripple effect on worldwide carbon emissions.
90% of the world's trade ships by sea. And those ships are some of the foulest emitters of CO2 on the planet. In fact, global shipping is the sixth biggest nation of CO2 emitters on Earth. So if we get that changed, we've taken a very, very big problem and really mitigated it.
And as the Navy sets the pace on biofuels, adopting a 50-50 mix for both ships and airplanes, they are applying the same vision to their land-based operations.
They're doing the same thing with shoreside installations. They have a goal, I think, by 2020 to run 50% of their shoreside installations on self-produced alternative energy from wind, solar, or ocean energy. So that's another big thing that they're scaling up and moving forward.
Additionally, Whitty reports, those shoreside facilities are also highly vulnerable to the consequences of global climate change. So the Navy is ahead of the curve in strategizing how they will respond to that threat as well.
Virtually every Navy installation and base is more or less at sea level. So if you even rise the sea levels a little bit, you're talking about flooding their installations. This is going to tax their bandwidth for a long time. Emotional bandwidth, physical bandwidth, financial bandwidth. What are they going to do with all of these places? Do they harden these bases to keep the sea out? Do they move them? How do they deal with it? And as the admiral said to me, it's not just the base, it's the attendant community of military personnel and all the people who supply them. Those places also can't go underwater.
To prepare for these interlocking challenges, naval leadership has embraced a stance of proactivity, a forward-looking mindset that is coming to permeate that branch of the service from top to bottom.
They are producing a whole generation of what they call energy warriors, young officers coming up through the ranks who are going to be promoted to some extent on their ability to anticipate fuel needs. And they're using equipment. They're retrofitting ships, putting in Prius-type dashboards that give people real-time feedback on fuel consumption. They're rerouting their ships based on working with ocean currents rather than against them. They're adding structure to ships like stern flaps that make existing hardware considerably more hydrodynamic. So they're really looking at everything.
Underlying all these moves is more than just cost consideration. For the Navy, the ultimate bottom line is national security. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.